Okay, today we will study lesson number 7 about obtaining regions in images. First, we will talk about the basic idea of a region, and then we will study two types of techniques, region growing and then split and merge. Well, the idea of regions is that regions are the complementary viewpoint from contours. When you obtain contours, your goal is to obtain the boundary between objects or between surfaces in your environment. Typically, where there are a boundary between two objects, you find a contour. Now, in this lesson, we will study techniques to obtain the opposite. We want to obtain regions in an image that are uniform. Then typically, you want to obtain the whole object where the luminosity, where the intensity in the image is uniform. You want to obtain all this as a region, and other objects in other intensities will correspond in general to different regions. Then instead of detecting the boundaries, we want to obtain the region as a whole. Then if just to formalize the idea, what we want is to, given an image I, we want to split the image in n regions such that each region is connected. Each region also is homogeneous in a certain sense, with a certain criterion that we will call in general H of R. Okay, then we want to split the image into several regions in such a way that all these four properties are true. The first property means that the union of all the regions corresponds to the whole image. Okay. Second, given any pair of regions, there are no intersection between them, then the regions are separated. Each region, third criterion, is each region must be homogeneous, given a certain homogeneity criterion H. Okay? And the fourth criterion means that if we try to merge two neighboring regions into one, the result is not anymore homogeneous. Okay? Then, our objective is to study different kind of algorithms that are able to obtain at the end a splitting in regions where all these four properties are true. They cover the whole image, regions are separated, are homogeneous, and if you try to join two neighboring regions, the result will not be homogeneous. Then, as you could imagine, the most important thing is what kind of criterion you will use to measure the homogeneity of a region. It typically depends on the application. And it's based on a certain property of a pixel or of the neighborhood of each pixel. For example, the simplest idea could be, let's imagine that our interesting property is the gray level, the intensity, and the homogeneous criterion will be, for example, very similar gray level values. And we should specify later how to compute this similarity. Okay? If we try to find regions using this criterion, we will typically obtain different regions in the image where the gray level is more or less constant. But we could also use color. For example, in the 8th practical lab, you should obtain color regions in an image. Then in this case, the criterion the property used will be the color, and the criterion will be certain type of measurements of the homogeneity that we will study afterwards. But for example, we could also use texture. Texture can be measured as local variations, for example, of the gray level. In this room, for example, the texture in the floor is very different from the texture on the walls or the texture on the ceiling. Then maybe only using texture, it's possible to differentiate between different objects. Or for example, in an outdoor image, it is very different the texture of a road from the texture of trees or grass. Even using a black and white image, it's quite possible to differentiate grass from road only studying the texture of the image. Okay, how to measure homogeneity? Well, there are very simple criterion. For example, first one is that the distance of our property, for example, gray level, distance to a reference value is smaller than a threshold. Okay? Then if we want to obtain regions in a certain color, in a certain gray level in our image, and we know a good reference value, we can try this simple criterion to obtain pixels that are within this threshold value around the reference value. Okay? If, for example, if we don't have an a priori value for this reference, we could use the mean value of the property, the gray level, for example, in the region. Then, in this case, the criterion will be distance to this mean value smaller than a threshold. Then this is a more dynamic criterion, because you don't need to have a priori the exact knowledge of the value that the property will have on your regions. Okay? Then, for example, we can imagine techniques of region growing, where the mean is continuously changing when we add more and more pixels to the region. Okay? And always our homogeneity criterion in this case is that the distance from new pixels to the mean be smaller than a threshold. Okay? Well, the third one is very similar to the second one. The third one could be that the standard deviation of the value of the property inside the region should be smaller than a threshold. Remember that the standard deviation is the mean square error, the standard deviation squared will be the sum of the distances of each pixel to the mean. Okay? To the mean in the region. This square, the sum of these squares gives you the covariance, the square of the standard deviation of your property. Then if you look at this this way of computing is very similar to this one. The only difference is that here you take in the second homogeneity criterion, you take the absolute value of the difference, and here you use the sum of the square errors with respect to the mean value inside the region. Okay, but it's very similar. And finally, the fourth criterion that we will study in some detail is use a hypothesis test using tools from statistics. For example, if we could assume that the property we are interested in, for example, the gray level, in a given region follows a Gaussian distribution. I mean, if our object has a constant color, for example, this white wall, if we take an image of this area, of this region, typically the intensities we get in the images are more or less the theoretical intensity of the wall plus minus a certain error And typically this error is can be modeled with a Gaussian distribution. Okay? Experience tells us that errors usually follow these Gaussian distributions. Okay? Then we could use a hypothesis test. Given a set of pixels, our question is it possible that those pixels come from a Gaussian distribution with a certain mean and a certain standard deviation? If it's true, if it's possible that they come from a Gaussian distribution, then it's quite likely that they come from the same object. Otherwise, they don't come from the same object. This is the way to use statistical theory to do a hypothesis test. We will see later some examples, much more specific, about how to compute this hypothesis test. You could see in this slide that this homogeneity criteria, these four criteria, there are many others, but these four are, each one is a little more complicated to compute than the previous one. Okay? This doesn't mean that for all applications, the most complicated one, the hypothesis test, is the best one, always. For simple applications, maybe the first one is enough. If you already know what's the reference value you are looking for, and you have an idea of the kind of errors you can get in your property, you could very easily program this test, but of course it's simply programming one line of code, no problem, to use it, for example, to decide if you add a new pixel to the region or if you split a region in two parts. Okay? In some other cases, well, the most complicated one is the hypothesis test, but of course it also uses some hypotheses. It's using the assumption that the information you will get in your image actually follows this kind of Gaussian distributions for the property you are using. Okay? Well, then there are two ways you can think of obtaining regions in an image. The first one, maybe the simplest one, is region growing. The idea is try to obtain these four properties, starting from small regions and growing them slowly. Then the idea is that we will try to group similar pixels or similar regions into bigger regions. Then the simplest way is region growing by adding pixels one by one. Then the idea is let's start one region with a seed pixel. Seed, semilla in Spanish. Okay? You take one seed pixel, and this single pixel region, of course, is an homogeneous region. Then property number three starts being true from the beginning. Okay? And then we start with this single pixel and try to add neighboring pixels in such a way that property number three is still true. I mean, add pixels while the region is still homogeneous. Okay? Then, when it is not possible to add a new pixel, it means that all pixels that are neighbors of our region, if we add them to the region, then property 3 starts to fail. Then it means that property 4 is already true. We cannot add another pixel to the region in a way that the homogeneity of the region is still true. Okay, then this makes property 4 true. And then property 1 and 2 will be obtained using as many seeds as necessary, as needed. Okay? Then typically if we choose a certain number of seeds, the number of regions we will obtain is equal to the number of seeds used plus one for the background. Typically, background is the rest of pixels in the image that have not been selected by growing any of the available seeds. Okay? Typically, these are regions of the image that are not interesting for our application. Yes. Do you want to ask something? No? Okay. Then, the idea then, remember, is we start with property 3 being true and simply add pixels to the region until property 4 becomes true. For example, the contour following operation we were talking on last lesson is a kind of this region growing procedure. We started with seed pixels where the magnitude of the gradient, for example, is bigger than the upper threshold, and then the criterion to add new pixels is that the magnitude of the gradient is bigger than the smaller threshold. Okay? Then it's the same kind of idea. From a seed, we start adding neighboring pixels, okay, until there is no more neighbors that can be added to this region. Okay. Well, one important thing is that the result of the region growing, of course, may change depending on the seeds that you choose to grow. For example, suppose that we have this simple image, and we will use as property the intensity, that here is represented by the numbers on the drawing. Okay? And suppose that we choose as criterion that the distance of each pixel, the intensity of each pixel to the seed, to the intensity of the seed, is smaller than 3, for example. Okay? And suppose we choose as seeds this 1 and this 7 on the right part of our small image. Okay? If we simply apply region growing from this 1, we will start adding pixels while the pixels are at where the difference of the pixel is less than 3 to the reference value of 1. Okay? Then we will add all these pixels here and obtain the dark region on the left part of the image. If we do the same with the seed in the 7, using the 7 as seed, we will obtain the second part, the right part of the image. Then in this case, we will end up with an image with 2 regions, one for each seed. Okay? But suppose that we change a little the criterion and we use as criterion that the distance to the seed be smaller than 8. Then in this case, when we grow from the 1, from the first seed, we already obtain the whole image. Okay? Then there is no way now there is no point in growing from the second from a second seed because we already have obtained the result. And take also into account that maybe the order in which you grow the seeds may influence the final result you will get. Okay? Then if you are interested in certain type of objects in your image, you should try to grow first this kind of seeds to be sure that you get these objects as good as possible, as perfect as possible, and then if you are interested in other kind of things, grow them later inside your algorithm. Okay? Okay. Another important detail is how to choose the seeds. Yes, please.
And a question to the slide before. How are we walking through the pixels? With 4 neighbors or 3 neighbors?
Okay. You could use 4 neighbors or 8 neighbors. Maybe the result is a little different, but it's not really very important. And also the order is not very important either. Depending of your on your application, you could try different orders or different. Maybe you could do this same idea: try first the four neighbors and then the eight neighbors. If your criterion is a static one, like this one, distance to the seed is smaller than 3, and the seed is fixed, and the threshold is also fixed, the result will be more or less always the same. Okay. Independently of in which order you choose to search for the pixels. Maybe if your criterion is more dynamic, for example, distance to the mean of the region is smaller than a threshold, maybe in that case you should be more careful about how to choose the seeds and how to grow them. Okay, because in this case the influence on the result will be bigger. But there is no a rule of thumb of which approach is better for all applications. Okay. Okay. Same thing about the seeds. Depending on the application, you may have a priori information of the type of the regions you are looking for. For example, in the lab number 8, you will get images of orange trees, and you have to look for the oranges in the image. Okay, these images are from a real application of a robot that is used to pick up oranges. Then the robot has a camera, takes an image, tries to localize the oranges, and then throws the robot arm to pick up the oranges and put them on the bag. Okay. Well, I saw this application several years ago in Valencia, and well, it worked pretty well. Okay. Then your objective it was able to pick up maybe 80% of the oranges in the trees. Of course, the ones that were quite visible, the oranges that were very inside the tree were very difficult to locate. Okay, and sometimes also the mechanical part failed, tried to pick up the orange, and maybe a leaf was between the arm and the orange, and it was not possible to pick up the orange. But well, it worked pretty well. Let's see how your lab work is able to locate these oranges. Then in this kind of application, it's very clear which are the kind of regions you are interested in. Typically, they have orange color. Okay? In this case, it's pretty clear how to choose the seeds. You need to choose seeds that are from orange color, more or less orange. Maybe yellow, maybe orange, maybe between yellow and red, in any case. Okay? For example, for the contours, also we are interested in using seed pixels with high magnitude of the gradient. For example, if you want to find the road in an image, just for an autonomous robot to drive on the road, you are interested in gray pixels and in the lower part of the image, not on the upper part, for example. Then, if you already have an a priori information of the kind of regions you are looking for, you should use it for choosing the best seeds for your application. In some other cases, maybe we don't have an a priori idea of what do you want to find in the image. Maybe your problem is take an image and separate the different areas in your image, but you don't have an idea of if the image is an outdoor image or are several objects on them. Okay? Then in this case, one possibility is to try to cluster, to find centers of the clusters of pixels. For example, here, suppose our property is the intensity, and we draw an histogram of the values of the intensity. In this case, simply looking at the histogram, we could see quite easily that we have two different gray levels, two different types of intensity, low intensity pixels and high intensity pixels. In this case, we could simply find these two clusters, these two peaks in our histogram, and choose, for example, values in the middle of one cluster, for example, around the 1, and values around 6 or 7 as seed pixels. Okay? And then grow from one of these ones, for example, and from one of these 6 values, and try to find the corresponding regions. Okay? For example, if you want to classify, obtain regions in a color image, typically you could use colors to see how many different colors are in your image. It means maybe how many different type of objects you have in your image, and then choose seeds around the middle of these clusters of each color to try to grow from these centers. Okay. Okay. What about the criterion for testing the fusion of regions? Here we have said that one possibility is to use a hypothesis test. It's probably the most complicated one, the only one that needs a little of explanation. Then the idea here is we are assuming that our property inside a good region will follow a Gaussian distribution. Okay, for example, the intensity inside an object, inside a region, let's assume that it follows a Gaussian in this way. Mu is the mean value of the Gaussian, and sigma is the standard deviation of the Gaussian. Then sigma squared corresponds to the variance of the property. Then, to decide if two regions can be merged in one or not, we could use a hypothesis test in this way. Given two neighboring regions, R1 and R2, each of them has N1 and N2 pixels. Okay. Then the way to pose a hypothesis test is that we will have two alternative hypotheses. The H0 hypothesis, the null hypothesis, is that the values of the property possibly come from the same Gaussian. It means it is possible that the mean of the values in both regions are actually the same value, and in both regions we have the same standard deviation. Okay? Then, if we are able to prove this hypothesis, then we will merge both regions, and in other case, if we can reject this hypothesis, then it means that the values of the property in the two regions come from different Gaussians. Okay? And then we will not merge these two regions. Okay, how to decide between these two possibilities, H0 and H1? Well, the idea is, if you look in a statistical book, you can find that the test for joining two Gaussian distributions can be performed in this way. First, compute the mean value of the property in each region. MK will be the mean value of all the pixels Q that belong to a region, for example, region 1. Then the sum of values divided by the number of pixels is the mean value. Second, S square represent, S represent the standard deviation of the property in each of the two regions. Okay? Is the sum of errors with respect to the mean, to the square, sum, the squared sum, divided by the number of pixels minus one. Okay? Then given mean and standard deviation in each pixel, if we compute this statistic, this value of t, that look at these values, the difference between the two means, divided by this number, that is the value of sc, is computed with this expression, represents is an estimation of the joint variance. Okay? Then, this value of t, if the two means are very similar, are the same, this value of t will approach zero. Then a small value of t means that both regions are very similar. Okay? A big value of t means that both regions are very different. Okay? They have very different mean compared with the value of the standard deviation of the gray level inside the regions. Okay? Then, if the difference between the means is big compared with the standard deviation, it means that the regions are different, and if the difference of the means are small, is small, then the regions are very similar. Well, if you look in a statistical book, you will find that this value of t follows a t distribution, a student's t distribution. Okay? With n1 plus n2 minus 2 degrees of freedom. Well, this means in practice that we can obtain a threshold value for t simply looking in the tables of the t distribution, of the student's distribution. Okay? Actually, we will see these tables in the next slides. Then, we will compute this value of t, and then if the value of t is bigger than a threshold that will be obtained from the tables of the student's distribution, then we will reject hypothesis H0. It means the two regions are different enough and we cannot merge them. Okay? What do we need to obtain this threshold? Well, we need to have a table of the student's distribution, of course, but you need also two parameters. One parameter is the significance level of the test, that usually is chosen as 1% or 5%. And this significance level means exactly this. Means alpha is the probability of rejecting hypothesis H0 being true. It means it's the probability of deciding not to merge two regions when they come actually from the same object. Okay? Then you can choose this value at your own. It means alpha is the price to pay. You pay the price of losing maybe 1% or 5% of the possible merges, okay? And what you expect to obtain from this price is to obtain good mergings in the rest of the cases, okay? This is always the case. All the hypothesis test works in the same way. You have to choose your price, the number of cases you can afford to lose, in this case not merging regions, when they belong to the same object. Well, then you choose this alpha level, and the second parameter is the degrees of freedom of your distribution that corresponds to the sum of pixels in the two regions, minus two. This corresponds to the degrees of freedom of the distribution. The idea here of the degrees of freedom is the number of variables you have you have used to compute, in this case, the statistic t, minus the number of parameters that you already have computed. In this case, you have computed m1 and m2. This is why this minus 2 appears here. Okay? Then the degrees of freedom intuitively means number of data you have used minus number of parameters you have already obtained. Okay? This is the reason why it's n1 plus n2 minus 2. Then, let's see a practical case. This test can be used, for example, you have already have a region with a certain number of pixels, and you want to test if it's possible to add a new pixel, one. In this case, you have two regions, one with n pixels, and the second region with only one pixel. But the test is exactly the same. The only difference is that, let's assume that n2 is equal to 1. Then for your region, you know the mean value and the value of the standard deviation taken from the previous slide, the particular case of n2 equal to 1, you simply obtain this expression for t. Okay? Then, in this expression, you compute the difference between the mean in your region and the new pixel you are trying to add to it. Okay? And divide it by this number, that is the standard deviation, an estimation of the standard deviation inside the region. Okay? If this t value is big, it means that the difference between the pixel and the mean is too big, and you have to reject adding this pixel to the region. If the value of t is small, you will add the pixel to the region. Okay. Is that clear? Then, if the value is smaller than this threshold, we will add the pixel. And then, when we accept a new pixel, we have to recompute the mean and the variance for the next iteration. Okay? Because here, the mean will change, probably a very small value, but you need to update it, and also the variance will change for the next pixel you will try to add. Okay? Let's see an example of how to choose the threshold value. First, we have to choose the significance of the test. For example, let's suppose we will use a significance of 5%. Okay? And imagine that our region already has 10 pixels. Okay? Then we want to know what's the threshold value for t. We can obtain it from this t distribution. Okay? The two parameters we need is the significance of the test. If it's 5%, the column of the table we need is this one that corresponds to 1 minus half divided by 2. Sorry, minus alpha divided by 2. Okay? Then it corresponds to 97.5% to the first column in yellow here. Okay? This corresponds to an alpha value of 5%. And the second question is the number of degrees of freedom in our distribution. That corresponds to the number of pixels minus 1. Then, if the region already has 10 pixels, the number of degrees of freedom that we should use is 9. Okay? Then, our threshold value is 2.262. That's it. Then, going back, we simply compute the value of t for the new pixel, and if the value is bigger than 2.262, then reject the pixel. End. Okay? If it's smaller, then we add the pixel to the region and recompute the value of m and s for the next iteration. Okay? And remember, when the region grows, also the threshold value changes. Then if the region has 10 pixels, we are in this row. When we add another pixel, we go to the next row. and so on. Okay? If you look here, when the number of pixels is already quite big, the value of the threshold gets a constant value, 1.96. Okay? Then more or less 2. Then the rule of thumb is, remember that already when you have 10 pixels in your region, your threshold is a little bigger than 2. Okay? Then look at this. Good pixels are around the mean value at 2 standard deviations. Okay? Why it's the case? Well, because if you remember from your courses on statistics, in a Gaussian distribution, if this is the mean of the Gaussian, and you plot the Gaussian distribution, 95% of the probability is inside a region that is around the mean plus minus 2 sigmas, 2 standard deviations. Okay? Inside a Gaussian, in 2 standard deviations around the mean, you will find 95% of the population. Okay? Then, this is the reason why this t value, when the number of pixels is quite big, converges to this value of 2, 196. Okay? Okay, one problem with this table is that when we have a region with only one pixel and we want to add the second pixel to this region, then with only one pixel the number of degrees of freedom is 0 and it's not on the table. Okay? Then for adding the second pixel you have to choose an a priori threshold. For example, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Okay? Look also at the threshold values. For the first pixels, the threshold values are quite big. It means at the beginning of a region, it's quite easy to add new pixels to the region. Because we still don't have an a priori idea of what's the true mean in the region and the true standard deviation. But once we have already added a lot of pixels to the region, then we know more and more precisely the value of the mean and the standard deviation, and then the test is much more selective, only allowing more or less 2 standard deviations around the mean that we already have. Okay? Okay, this is also one of the reasons why this kind of test, even if the theory is stronger, this kind of test may fail if at the start of the region we add a few bad pixels to the region. Then we will get a region with a very big standard deviation, and this region is very easy to add new pixels to it. Then if we start with a not so good seed, we add a few bad pixels to the seed, we can get a region with a very big standard deviation that will swallow a big portion of your image. Okay? That's one of the main failure reasons for this kind of test. Then maybe it is a good idea for the first pixels to be also a little selective and use threshold values smaller than these ones. Okay? If you want to avoid this kind of problems, then maybe in lab number 8, if you try to use this technique, maybe you will find some difficulties, and probably you could solve them using threshold values a little smaller for the first pixels inside the regions, or maybe choosing the best possible seeds that are clearly orange in color and not only more or less orange. Okay? You should try. Okay. I think that's all for the moment. Let's stop for 10 minutes and let's continue later.